Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Carissa. Obviously, this is my first meeting chairing Health and Nutrition, so thank you in advance for your graciousness and patience. And thank you, Carissa, for being my guide. And so we will call the meeting to order at 1:01 p.m. And I wanted to ask Phil. I did see Phil, I think. Maybe not. Is Phil Mandeville here yet? Hi,
he
Patty.
Logged on.
Okay. Do we wait for him to do the Pledge of Allegiance or how do we proceed?
No, you can just, I can start it if I'll okay. Pull up the flag and let's see here. Okay, and if everyone wants to put your hand over your heart and ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance,
To the flag,
of the United States
of America
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty
justice, and justice for all.
Wonderful.
And I will take roll as well. We'll start with Laval Brewer. Linda Cardoza.
Present.
Nancy Ching. Meredith Chalemi.
Present.
Sherry Geyer.
Present.
Margaret Wong. Elizabeth Jimenez. Philip Mandeville. Patty Mouton.
Present.
Phil Orland.
Present.
Barbara Sloat.
Present.
And Dave Sullivan.
Here.
And Picasso.
And Picasso, right.
And any other dog friends. So much, Carissa.
You're welcome.
So now I wanted to see if we had any guests that have joined our meeting.
We have one, the Mayor of Villa Park, Crystal Miles.
Very nice to meet all of you.
Nice to meet you too, Crystal. Do you want to introduce yourself to our group?
Absolutely. So I was elected by the City Selection Committee to be the district representative for District 3. Been on city council. This is going on my third year. Rotate the mayor. So we're a general law city. So this is my first year as mayor. So you and I have something in common, Meredith, our first. Our population in Villa Park, if you're not aware, we have about 25% of our population are seniors. This is a very important part of our population that sometimes goes unnoticed. And I'm really looking forward to advocating and learning and sharing.
Welcome. We're glad you're here. I'm looking forward to all those things as well.
I do have to say, unfortunately, I will have to leave at 1:45. I have a prior commitment that was made prior to my appointment to this committee. So I do apologize, and that won't be an issue going forward.
Oh, well, thank you for letting us know. No worries. So then next would be our Office on Aging update, but do we have Frank Hernandez here with us, Carissa?
He's not logged on, but he just emailed me. He was trying to log on now, so we should have him momentarily, but okay. You're welcome to proceed with the agenda as well until he logs on, and then we could circle back.
We'll go back. Okay.
So the first Laval Brewer is here though, so I'll mark him present as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Actually,
welcome, Laval.
Logging on right now. Frank is just logging on. He should be.
Okay. Let's just wait for him.
Frank, are you there?
There he is. Hi, Frank.
Yes, I am. I didn't realize I was muted both screen wise and voice.
Well, you're here right on cue, so it's time for you to give your update.
Great. So we had our first Healthier Living with Chronic Conditions class virtually complete this past week. We had five or six registered and three completers or four completers. I have to pull up that number here. And three completers. So it's a good success considering that was our first class. We anticipate doing a virtual training for the master trainer for the Matter of Balance virtual class that hopefully will start sometime after February. And we're looking at also getting certified as master trainers to train current leaders to deliver the class virtually. So that's another hurdle that Self-Management Resource Center is asking us to do. That's good for now.
Thank you. Any questions for Frank?
Silence is golden, right?
We'll pause. Welcome, Anne. All right. Well, thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I'm glad that the virtual is pivoting and taking off. That's wonderful news.
Me too.
So next we have our new business. And the first item is appointment of a vice chair. And Carissa was able to share with me that one of the main roles of the vice chair is to conduct the roll call. So I wanted to ask if we had any volunteers to be the vice chair of this committee for 2021.
I'll be the vice chair.
Oh, thank you, Patty. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, that was easy peasy. So on to our main item.
Dave Sullivan.
Yes.
I have a comment for you, Patty. Sure. And I correct me if I'm wrong on this, but that position also has the responsibility of providing the report of what the committee did. You know, and that has to be in quite a bit in advance of the main SCAC meeting. So do you have the time for that?
I do, and I'll work directly with Meredith to make sure that happens.
Right. Okay, just want to make sure you knew.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave, and thank you so much, Patty. So the next thing that we want to spend the bulk of our time together talking about is our 2021 presentation schedule. Today, we are not having a presentation. I wanted to have a working meeting here in January to talk about who we want to suggest to speak with us for at least 9 other meetings in this calendar year. And Carissa was able to pull up our presenters for the last several years. So I wanted to start out by sharing who our presenters have been, which will be a reminder for most of you and new information for Crystal and I. And then after that, I wanted to have a brainstorming session with our group about who we wanted to invite to speak for the rest of 2021. So for our 2019 health and nutrition presentation schedule, we had a presentation on dental hygiene by Dr. Denise and Dave Sullivan. We had a presentation on food security and senior nutrition by Cynthia Okada, on food and nutrition by Anna Hamada, on HICAP by Linda, and Alzheimer's Orange County by Patty. In 2020, in January, we had a presentation on current dementia research with the Global Alzheimer's Platform Foundation. And then because of the pandemic, I believe February and March, we didn't meet. In July, it was an upcoming fall prevention grant discussion with Erica from the Office on Aging. Then in August, there was a presentation on internal medicine and geriatrics by Dr. Michael Tehrani. September healthy eating during the pandemic by Jennifer Dufresne, a registered dietitian. Linda was able to share from HICAP in October. And then in November, Bill Liu, the pharmacist from the county healthcare agency, gave a presentation. So I wanted to review those to see if that sparked ideas about wanting to invite speakers again or other speakers that we might think of. I took some notes as I was kind of brainstorming in preparation for today. Some other ideas that I had would be food pantries like Second Harvest, CalFresh, especially online ordering, which is a newer feature, how to access farmers markets with CalFresh. I think it might be interesting to hear about how home delivered meals is going from our two main sources, which is Age Well, as well as Meals on Wheels, Orange County and the city of Irvine, and see if there's waiting lists and things like that. Also, charitable organizations might be something that we want to hear from, like Saddleback Church and the pop-ups that they've been providing. So not just the government sector, but also our community partners. And then in terms of health, HICAP came to mind right away, Alzheimer's Orange County. Benefits advocacy organizations may be interesting to hear from, like the Dale McIntosh Center, the Senior Medicare Patrol for fraud, and then maybe topics like patient navigation, screening and vaccinations is a big thing in the healthcare sector right now, especially with COVID. And so those are just some of the brainstorms that I had, but I would love to hear from the group about what would be meaningful for us so that we can educate and also so that we can drive attendance to this meeting by the public and get information out to our network so that more people have access to information. So I would just love to open it up and hear your thoughts.
Hi, this is Sherry.
Oh, Sherry.
Yes. October has historically always been pretty ironclad for what was Linda Cardozo these past 2 years for the high cap changes in benefits. So yes. I think that we all benefit from that. And I think we should keep that for October. We've done it for the last 6 years in October, and it is new information.
Mm-hmm. Linda, are you available in October?
Yes, I am. And I think I would like to have the title changed. HICAP is the organization, but the title is really going to be Medicare, What's New in 2022.
It has a ring to it.
Yes.
Okay, great. And so that will be October 20th, Medicare, What's New in 2022. Patty?
Do we have a speaker for April yet?
No, we don't have anything slotted yet. We have a fresh slate. So what are your idea for April?
April is Healthcare Decisions Month. And especially in light of what we have learned about COVID and the precipitous nature of people's decline, I'd like to suggest that we have a speaker on advanced care planning and POLST in light of what we've learned from COVID in April for Healthcare Decisions Month.
I love that.
And what's the date of our April?
April 21st.
Okay. Meredith LaValle.
Yes.
Since Patty took April, but in advance of April, sorry, Patty, I don't mind. I think it was great. In advance of April, April is National Volunteering Month.
Mm.
We know that getting out and being active in our community has some health benefits. So maybe we can get 10C or another volunteer organization to talk about actively engaging older adults in volunteerism.
That's a wonderful idea. How about March?
Yeah, that'd be great. And then you also mentioned Second Harvest as a food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Second Harvest is and 10C Food Bank are food banks. They support the pantry system. It might behoove us to get pantries to combine from three areas of the county to just kind of talk about what pantry operations are,
okay,
and how food pantries support their local communities.
Do you have the names that you already are familiar with, LaValle, about the three pantries?
I would be more than happy to organize that since I run a food pantry.
Oh, great.
South County Outreach runs a food pantry. I'd be more than happy to pull together a small panel to talk about, you know, what is food pantry, what, you know, something in that space. We'll come up with something enlightening.
Would you be able to do that for February, or is that too soon?
That might be a little too soon, considering we're still in the midst of pretty regular operations. But let me put my head to it, Meredith, and don't pin me in. You can pencil me in.
Okay.
I think I'd feel better about maybe a May or a June.
Okay, great. I'll email you more about that.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Dave Sullivan?
Yes. Hi, Dave.
Hi. So the name of this committee is Health and Nutrition. So it's important that we have a presentation on nutrition itself, in my opinion, and also in the area of health. We've always had Dr. Liu during the year, and he deals with medications people are taking. Yes. And the mistakes they make, one of which, of course, is that, which can't be emphasized enough, people have multiple doctors, and mm-hmm. sometimes they don't communicate on what's being given for their kidney problem, or, you know, the various problems the senior has. And some of those drugs, when they interact, can be very deleterious to an older person. I also just saw something kind of by accident, but it was a survey that came out of Johns Hopkins, and it was just released. And that was regarding deaths from medications. And it was on two levels. One was, I'm not remembering the figures exactly, and hopefully I can get back at them, but they get the exact figures, but it just shocked the hell out of me. I believe it was 7% of the seniors, as we know, the death certificate doesn't always say right. the real cause of death. Mm-hmm. 7% of senior deaths were from forgetting to take their medications. And an even higher percent of senior deaths was thinking they forgot their medications and then taking them probably three times during the day. And again, you know, there's certain medications that'll kill you as well. And as I get older, I'm 83 now, I use a system, mm-hmm. Which I think everybody should use as they get older. And I have a box. I think I got it once at a SCAC. I've been in SCAC many years. So anyways, I have 2 weeks of the morning. People usually have morning and afternoon and evening right. medications. So I just have to fill it up every 2 weeks. And I know, you know, that it's time to take it. And I think that would, something like that would be really important. So again, Dr. Liu, you know, as I mentioned, is really helpful, as I think everybody would agree. And also you as a gerontologist would be a real asset as well as giving us some of that information. And then another incredible source on gerontology is UC Irvine. They're probably the premier, institution in the country studying that. And particularly they're always looking for people to do trials. And, you know, there's a little kick to that. You got to dedicate your brain after you pass, but they just have incredible information of stuff they're doing. So it I think it'd be helpful to have, if somebody has a good contact there, and I may be able to do that because that's where I currently get my medical services, all at one stop at UC Medical Center, which is right, you know, essentially they seem to have the combination of the whole operation now in one area, or at least close by. So that's very helpful too. I'm sorry to go on so long.
No, this is great. I would love it if you could pursue finding a contact for me to work with at UCI. And I see Frank's next. The other thing that I came to think about with medication management is a couple of other things. That is transitions of care. So when people are going to the hospital or to long-term care and then returning back home, there's a lot of medication errors that occur during that time period. And then also people still have trouble paying for their medications. So websites like needymeds.org would be something that we might want to see if we could profile, so that people can know that there is a clearinghouse for when they need help paying for their prescription medications.
Right. And then as far as the, I in my professional life was a dentist, orthodontist actually. It was kind of a backup I did with another dentist that was on the, on our group, and she just resigned. But that's kind of a backup thing, but it is extremely important.
Yes.
Seniors lose the ability as they get older to do a good job brushing their teeth, basically. And that leads to all kinds of problems, which can eventually, as you know, as a gerontologist, can lead to death, you know. Yes. From I can always do that as a backup on a...
Well, I may ask you to do that in February.
Okay. It isn't that
February 17th is going to be here before we know it, and we need to have a speaker.
That's a great idea. I love that idea. Fine. That's a great idea.
And it will be participation, so I'll have to send something out to you. So you, I think that's a good way of... people learning something that they actually do it. So even though it's Zoom, I'll tell you, there's just a couple of things that you'll need.
Okay.
All right.
We have a snappy title so that we can draw people in.
Oh, okay. I'll work on that.
All right. We'll think of something. So Frank, I saw that you had your hand up.
Yeah. So September, at the end of September is the Fall Prevention Awareness Week.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can either have a speaker the month before, or it's right before, if we do it September, it's like the week before the event starts. And then I think that's a little late considering that we're trying to promote the Fall Prevention Week.
Yes. So you would suggest August 18th?
Yeah.
Do you have a suggested speaker, Frank, that we can contact that you think would be engaging and informational?
Maybe. And this is so it's August.
Yes, it's August 18th at 1 p.m. Crystal? Yeah, hi.
So being the newbie and the freshman, if this has already been discussed or is not, in alignment with the goals, what about having somebody that can come and talk about skincare? Because our seniors, our elders, you know, it's the same skin from when they were, you know, younger, and with melanoma and different kinds of skin disease and skin cancer, it's much, much, much more important for elders to take extremely good care of their skin, not just with sunblock, but also wearing hats or long sleeves and things like that. So I don't know if you guys have ever had somebody talk about skin protection, skin care, but maybe that would be something.
If I may, we did in the past. Does anybody remember, Sherry, do you remember who that person was from? It was a dermatologist, possibly from UCI, I can't remember. But in any case, it was really interesting in this fact from the male perspective. It was a female doctor, and she mentioned that one of the main way men get melanoma is because rarely is their hair covered. Their ears covered. like I, up until then, played senior ball for years, you know, with the regular cap, like you see a baseball player. And then I kind of got like a, I looked like I was coming from the desert, you know, one of those like Lawrence of Arabia. But she really, and it is a major problem. So I think that'd be a great idea if we could connect with a dermatologist.
I think that would be wonderful as well. Does anyone know of a dermatologist?
I have a dermatologist that I can ask. She only works part-time, and I'm happy to ask her, see if she would be interested in that. One of the other things, if I may, I don't know, it would go along with the health, kind of like with the fall prevention, is for our seniors that end up transitioning into a home by themselves. So if there's a death of a spouse or something, and as they age, I know that, you know, what are some of the products that can make their lives easier? For instance, you know, the large buttons on the telephone, or I know that they have can openers and stuff that are easier for our elders to manipulate, because they don't, you know, maybe they have arthritis and they can't grasp or something.
So adaptive, I don't know, for solo seniors?
I'm sorry?
Adaptive equipment?
Yes. Yeah. Something along that.
Awesome.
And if I may on that one, also to bring in one of the major things that unfortunately is ends a life for seniors is the various bars in the bathroom and all to hold on to. So we only have 9 sessions. So if we could kind of combine all that in, you know, the one session, that would be.
So adaptive equipment and home modifications.
That might be
all of that. Yeah.
That might fall into the fall prevention.
Exactly. Yeah. They all work together.
Good point.
Yeah. Which also touches on the medication management.
Yes, it does. So Meredith, here's another thought. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're talking about suicide prevention, and we think about the isolation that everyone's facing with the stay-at-home orders. So there's a good tie-in there if that was something the group was interested in.
Does the I'm interested in that. Do we still have at the county level the older adult services group that helps with mental support?
Probably Orange County Healthcare Agency would be one. I could actually talk to our folks within our council and see who they would recommend. If you're interested, I can give you a couple of names. Okay.
That would be wonderful for May. Mental health support, mental fitness. Okay, we're getting a lot accomplished here. So we have Dave saving us in February with his presentation that's going to have a snappy title. And I think that we have April and May and August and October kind of penciled in. So what are our thoughts for March, July, September, and November?
You know, I belong to the AAUW, and then they recently invited that Dr. Dong Trinh, who gave us a talk on CBD the last year, the year before, and he gave a wonderful presentation on the COVID, and following he gave a presentation on cancer prevention. And apparently I had a conflict of attending. Apparently it was over 100 people attended that. It was closed. So he second leading cause of death in America is cancer. So he is into educating, educating the public about the cancer prevention. So Patty, you think you can invite him?
I sure can. Which date would you like him?
Let's see. We have July 21st. Or November 17th open.
July 21st. And tell me again exactly what you want him to talk about.
You want to talk about cancer prevention. He wrote a book about cancer code. So, okay. I mean, he educates, you know, people in the public. He's an educator now. He's a doctor. But I think that would be very, very useful.
I'm going to text him right now.
If I may, I believe, Sherry, you attended that too, and it was just fantastic. If he'd just give the same presentation, it would be, and any updates he had to be, it would be fantastic. Do you agree with that, Sherry?
Was that cancer prevention you attended?
Yeah, the one you're talking about.
Oh, Dave, you attend that too?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
We had it at H&N.
What's H&N?
Health and Nutrition.
Oh, okay, got it.
And then we have the food pantry group with Laval that we will plug in. Bill Liu, I think that we basically have a lot of our bases covered as I'm reading through my notes. Is there any other ideas or suggestions that anyone wants to throw out in terms of our presentation schedule?
What about heart and stroke awareness? No, maybe?
That one would be in February.
Is that February? I'm trying to find out when that awareness day or week is happening.
You know, if I may, this business of trying to do it in awareness month and all is nice in concept, but some of these great speakers are really busy.
That's true.
You know, so my experience in the past, and I've been on this committee for years and years, is that you take them when you can get them type thing.
Meredith?
Yes.
What about physical fitness? I have a speaker.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's here in Placentia.
Okay.
And he speaks at national conventions and he's written a couple books and he basically talks about, you know, when you're physically fit and mentally fit, they all go together. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot. He teaches a purpose workshop. But if you want him to speak, I can see if he's available.
That sounds great to me too.
Is he certified as a CSCS?
He's got every credential you ever want to have. He helped Rick Warren write a book called Daniel Plan.
Hmm.
His name is Sean Foy. And okay. We had him in the city of LA as part of the our retirement system, put on workshops in Chino and in Los Angeles. So if you think you might want to have him speak, I'll get his bio.
Okay.
And then you can make a decision.
That sounds great.
If I may, I think we could have two presentations, if you so desire, on the 14th, because mine can be kind of short and sweet. Probably I can not do it in 15 minutes or so.
Okay.
And then we could have, you know, because it's getting tough to fit everything in, and they're all so important. If there was something else that could be fit in the 14th, that'd be a way to kill two birds with one stone.
Now, for all of you that have more experience than I do, since Crystal and I are new, we'll have to ask these questions. If we do have a great response to all the speakers that we've thought of today, and we haven't even mentioned having Patty speak about her organization, can we have two speakers for one session? Has that worked out? Has that not worked out?
You mean a panel?
A panel or one speaker speaking for 15 minutes and then another speaker speaking for 15 minutes?
Yeah, we have had that a lot. Frankly, I don't think the panel, you know, they have different subjects that they want to talk about. And it's basically been separate, you know, presentations. Yeah. And the speaker has to be aware of the time limit. It would be helpful, really, to, you know, give them a little more. If you have a great speaker, and I'm not putting myself in that category, but if you had a great speaker, you know, and you're only going to have 15 minutes, I would think that would be kind of insulting.
Yes. So what is the preferred length, since we do have a 2-hour meeting scheduled? We don't have to use all that time, but we can. What is the preferred length that we would suggest when we're inviting our speakers?
If I may, I'd say minimum of a half an hour.
Okay.
And then, you know, you can adjust the question period as to the time, but there should also be the opportunity after that for the members to ask, you know, questions. And some good information comes from the questions that are asked by the members of this committee.
I have a question.
When you did this on Zoom last year, did we have someone that was monitoring the chat and then bringing the questions forward to the speakers during the Q&A?
I would describe last year's Zoom as kind of a snafu, if you know what that means. It was getting used to it and all.
So yeah.
I think we're, because we've had, you know, a year of them now, or however long it's been, it's going much smoother.
I have a question for Patty. Patty,
yes.
If we can, do you think Gary Smalls would be a good speaker for the group?
Well, Gary Smalls would be a wonderful speaker for the group. Getting him to speak to a group of this size for 30 or 40 minutes might take an act of Congress.
Well, he's very, very his ex-brother-in-law worked for me, and I know his sister, so I can try. If
yes,
you think
absolutely.
You want me to give it a try?
Yes.
Okay.
Then we can try to get record attendance. That can be one of our goals.
Absolutely.
This is Sherry. I just wanted to say that we did do caption questions, and Chris, I think that you brought those questions forward.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. I was going to mention that as well. If they pop up, I usually will let the speaker finish speaking, and then at the end during the questions, I'll chime in and say these are the questions we received, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Or the member can speak up and ask the question directly. It's up to them.
Okay. Great. Well, what I would like to do is I'll type up what we discussed and a sample schedule based on what we have today. And then for those that volunteer to reach out, please do. And then I would just like to get the document updated, and hopefully we can get this settled in the next few weeks. I know that some people are going to take longer to get back to us than others, but I would like to keep our group informed and then start once we have. I guess my last question is, does anyone have a contact for heart and stroke awareness if we want to have that person speak in tandem with Dave?
It's somebody from the American Heart Association. I have a very good contact. She's the vice president.
Oh, great. Thank you, Phil.
I'll give her a call. I haven't talked to her since COVID. We were going to have the heart walk at Anaheim, the annual heart walk. And I called her and said, I'm not going to make it this year. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, they had to cancel it. Her name is Bonnie Hayden. She's pretty well connected in that group.
Wonderful. If you, I don't know a contact, but I know that UCI has one of the leading stroke and heart, they're one of the facilities that deals with strokes. They're certified by the state as well, if Heart Association doesn't pan out.
In Brea, we had a doctor from UCI talk about COVID vaccine. And as it turns out, that doctor is emeritus, and his son is my electrophysiologist at
Kaiser. So he's a, you know, extremely knowledgeable. So if you get stuck, I'll reach out to him. He's a really good guy.
Dave Sullivan, are you there?
Yeah.
How about Dr. Swaroop?
To do what?
That's a possibility. He's an outstanding cardiologist at UCI, so I can talk with him about it.
Good deal.
And while you mentioned, I think Sherry came up with a great idea.
I did?
And that is, you come up with many, but anyways, this is for Carissa. I think it's really good for the people at the meeting, particularly if we get a lot of people at the meeting, for them to submit the questions to you. And then, you know, it puts a little stress on you, I guess, but it that way you can be sure that they're evenly distributed and there's not one member, you know, asking multiple questions. And when you have many members asking the questions, obviously you're more apt to elicit good information.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Dave. I can do that. We can, before the speaker presents, we can always invite the members to put their questions in the chat box.
Yes.
And then we can read them out after the speaker finishes their presentation.
It's probably too hard during the meeting, but, you know, the presentation might make a person think of a good question, but I don't know how that would work out as well to do both. But yeah, I think, you know, both the combination would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Meredith?
Yes.
I need to go. I wanted to say it was nice meeting all of you. I'm very looking forward to participating. And I will see you all in February. And I will check out the dermatologist friend of mine and see if she has availability. So,
wonderful. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Go on.
So I think that we all have outreach to do. And our most pressing issue is finalizing February, because the sooner we can finalize that, the sooner we can publicize that on our LinkedIn pages, Facebook. Is it possible for us to put the information on the Office on Aging website if people look to that and want to join our session?
I can ask. I know most of the flyers are for the SCAC general meeting. We don't have too many that are for the subcommittees, but usually our attendance is from word of mouth, I've found. But I can look into definitely how we can outreach a little bit more. So,
you know, this kind of brought to my attention. So does SCAC have its own logo? And does SCAC Nutrition have its own
logo? Because, I mean, when you see SCAC, everybody kind of thinks SCAC as its own entity. And so when you have breakout subgroups, you want to at least want to highlight that you're an entity that's serves its purpose and it needs a little bit more recognition when it comes to SCAC.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't. We just use the Office on Aging since they fall under that umbrella.
Yeah, maybe put a little, is that possible to kind of put some sort of icon that would distinguish other than just saying health and nutrition?
I can find out if we can create a logo.
Yeah, I mean,
specific to
an stuff. Apple, who knows?
I may be getting in trouble here with my wife, but she's a pretty outstanding artist. So if people could kind of submit, you know, email me some concepts, I think she'd be willing to do it, and I think it would come out pretty well.
Nice.
Okay. And I don't know who's going to save me if I, no, she'll do it. She's good at that. It'll cost me something, but not monetarily.
Thank you. That's great, Dave.
Okay.
Nice suggestion, Frank. Okay, any other thoughts on this portion of our meeting of presenters for 2021? Wonderful. Thank you for the discussion. We have no old business. So now we are at the point in our agenda when we have the opportunity for our members to make announcements and have a roundtable discussion. So are there any announcements?
I have one, sorry. I wanted everyone to know that Alzheimer's Orange County has opened up a COVID positive memory care unit on the grounds of Fairview Developmental Center in partnership with the Orange County Healthcare Agency. So it's for a very specific sliver of the population, people over 60 who have some cognitive impairment, are COVID positive, and there's difficulty either caring for them in their current home situation or quarantining them in their current home situation. So we have had people come from hospital emergency rooms, from board and care homes, from private homes, from hospital discharge, from assisted living, many, many different types of home settings. And we currently have 25 beds open with the potential to open 25 more if the county decides to fund it. And the beauty, part of the really exciting part of this is that the county healthcare agency is funding the board and care fees for these folks. So people who maybe are living in an atria or a board and care home, they don't have to pay double.
Right.
For people of limited income, it's an opportunity, one where an elderly couple, grandma was taking care of grandpa, grandpa has dementia, they both got COVID. Grandma was actually quite sick at home. Grandpa was just mildly sick, but there was nobody that could take care of them both. So grandpa came to stay with us, and they stay with us 14 to 21 days, depending upon how soon their COVID symptoms resolve. And they can't be terribly ill. So we are not a medical facility, we're residential care, but it's working out, and we are very busy. We have, I think today we have 23 in our 25 beds. And there's a lot of conversation percolating at the county healthcare agency as to whether or not to open up the additional 25 beds. But it's been a problem. People wait in emergency rooms for sometimes 24 hours because they can't go back to their board and care home, and family can't come and get them because they live across the country. And we've been able to receive those people into our care.
Well, thank you, Patty. That's obviously filling a gigantic gap in our system. And it's just such a blessing for the people you're taking care of and their loved ones. And I know it's been a lot of work, so thank you.
It's been lively. It's been the 28th, and it's been very lively. And I may have to excuse myself for 1 minute to make one call regarding an admission.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you so much for your announcement. Any other of our group have announcements or discussion points for the round table? Frank?
Yeah, so one of the things as we launch virtual or even upcoming classes, I am going to be sending out invitations for our board members to hopefully reach out and recruit people that are stuck at home to maybe consider registering for one of our online classes. The caveat is that they have to have either a tablet, a PC, or laptop. Once I finish my Matter of Balance Master Trainer class, I'll have a better understanding on whether it's going to be only those devices, because I know that Stanford and Self-Management Resource Center only wants individuals to be either PC oriented, where they're going to have a virtual class via the computer, laptop. They don't allow like a smartphone
to be used as the PC, even though some of them are really strong that they can have an actual conversation and be an attendee of the class, but that's through Stanford. I don't know what it's going to look like when we use the Matter of Balance class. But that said, more to come as far as classes that are going to be rolling out hopefully after February, March. Now that we have our feet wet, hopefully we can get more attendees. The sad part is that requirements, the maximum number of attendees has also decreased. So instead of 15 to 20, it's now, I believe, 10. It would be, depending on the group, it'd be stretching it to say that it's going to be 12 attendees. So 10 is manageable because you have, you know, 12 images on the screen, and who knows what they can see depending on what the computer device is. So just keep in mind, those are going to be coming down the pipeline soon. And it'd be great if you can spread the word and recruit participants who stuck at home wanting to get educated.
I think that's really important for us to advertise that and to help people feel like it's a good opportunity, because it is. They're at home, they're disconnected, and they can learn something and also have some social interaction.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Dave Sullivan?
Yes, Dave.
I want to get this in while Patty is making her call. She is amazing. And one of the things that she did, and Sherry may be able to tell more about this, there was a gentleman who was dying and wasn't allowed to see his family in account of the COVID. And she took him in, has a special room over there, and she fought like hell to get that facility, and had him in that room away from everybody else. And he was able to say goodbye. So she does stuff like that, and she's very hard to say no to. As far as announcements, Huntington Beach Legion Post, which I'm a member of, which is the oldest one in Orange County, even older than Santa Ana and cities that are older than Huntington Beach. But anyways, they, through the Legion, have a resource place for veterans, which we the city let us use their the library for it. But now, you know, the library is closed, as many things are.
Yeah.
And our commander is just fantastic. And I don't know how he raises the money. We've done our treasury in, but he seems to put the stiff arm on various businesses and all. But they have spent over $75,000 in the past 8 months that this has been in place, helping veterans in all sorts of situations that may be alone or whatever, and getting medical care, getting food, getting people. We have various things in the city. There's one group that will check a house out for safety and put in smoke detectors and that sort of thing. So they use them. That's kind of a freebie. And they essentially go over the whole house and say, you need bars, you know, holding bars, you need to get rid of these shag rugs and et cetera, et cetera. And then they go out in the community and get people to donate them. One place that has been very good is, I don't want to go on too long here, but Home Depot. There was this 99-year-old World War II veteran, and he couldn't get out of his house. And he was going strong when he was 97 around town and all, but, you know, age caught up with him. And they built, his house was one of the older houses in Huntington Beach, probably got it for $200 way back. But anyways, quite a nice house, which is probably worth well over $1 million with its location, probably more than that. And they built steps up to his house, and they provided the materials, Home Depot did. And then we have a Boy Scouts group going for their Eagle Scout and all. A carpenter got the boys to assist him and built the steps and so on. The sad part of it is that he only used them once when he was in the process of dying. They took him down, but it's just a lot of good stuff that they're doing for veterans. That's the end of that.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. That's amazing community work.
Yeah.
Neighbors helping neighbors. That's awesome. Anyone else have something they would like to share or roundtable on? Okay, then our next section is public matters. At this time, members of the public may address the council. Do we have any members of the public that would like to address the council?
And I also didn't receive any speaker request forms. I'll send that out usually with the agenda in case members of the public wish to speak, but nope, I don't have any.
Well, then we are at the conclusion of our meeting. It is 1:57 and we are adjourned.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you so-